You are listening to The Strategy Behind Branding Yourself, a podcast for those looking to tap into their passion, make an impact, and begin building a brand. My name is Precious Price, and I'll be your host. Thanks for joining.
I would completely cut you off. Like, it's you came for me. I don't do that anymore. But that's what I had to realize is everyone's not trying to hurt you. Everyone's not trying to come for you. Everyone is not trying to embarrass you. Sometimes it's just you. You need to take a step back, listen, and then understand, okay, this is the message that they're trying to communicate to me. And even if it's some type of critical feedback. How did I learn that? I mean,
people are still like 6 years old and they have that problem.
Mm-hmm, they are.
How did you change it? Because I know in high school, college at IU here, you were like very good at communicating.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, so honestly, it took, again, mentors. Uh-huh. So there was, I have a couple of mentors here in Kelly, but there were two specifically that really made a huge impact on my life. Jen Perdue, she works in the admissions office here within Kelly, and then Brittany Wilson. She used to be the director of diversity initiatives for the School of Business, and now she's in a different role, but out of Atlanta. Cody.
Oh, I love Cody.
Yes, they're amazing. Yeah. But both of them, both separately and together, sat me down and told me that I needed to change, like that my attitude was trash. I already knew it, but they saw me struggling in classes and here on campus because of my attitude. And like it was even to a point where I feel like maybe it was damaging my relationship with them. Because they would try to give me some type of critical feedback and I take it the wrong way. And it's like, it's humbling yourself, honestly. Mm-hmm. I was just speaking about this yesterday, which is crazy, but it's having the awareness to humble yourself and to take that critical feedback, or humbling yourself in the aspect of realizing that I just really went off on that girl for no reason. Mm-hmm. That was not okay of me. I feel like at times we realize when we do something wrong. There's a little voice. It's up to you on whether or not, like, whether how loud it is in your head. Yeah. But there's a voice in there that tells you, like
I shouldn't have said that.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. There's a little voice that tells you, and you just have to make sure that you're listening.
Sometimes, like, so I had not same case, but a guy that I know, so arrogant. Like, so arrogant, and I worked with him. Mm-hmm. He was, like, the worst. Mm-hmm. Like, I just hear, like, sometimes, like, oh, he said this, and that. I'm just like, I don't care. I'm doing my business. With him or without him, I'll make it. I was talking with this guy, and I told him, like, just give it a few years. Mm-hmm. If he does, not going to learn from me, if he's not going to learn that he's arrogant,
and this
arrogance is hurting everyone, it's hurting the team, life is going to teach him that.
Exactly.
If it's not, his employee is going to teach him that. If it's not, he's going to lose his job. No. Then he will fail.
Exactly. You go through things.
Yep, you go through things to learn that you have a problem like that.
And honestly, I had went through things to learn that, and I didn't learn it. Mm-hmm. And that's another funny thing about life is when you don't learn a lesson, the same lesson keeps coming back around, just in a different way.
My daddy always told me that, and sometimes like, Omar, life's going to slap you.
It'll tap you. Oh my God.
Wake up.
And you don't hear
And
then it'll nudge you. Yeah. And it's like, no, I still don't get it. And then it completely slaps you, and you're like,
it totally will knock you down. Like, it would not stop.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's so weird. Like, until you will go through it. Mm-hmm. And I was talking, I was like, if you, he's like, I'm glad that I have him. Like, he's actually, my dad is one of my mentors. Like, all the time, he learned a lot about life, so he shares that knowledge. And he was talking, he was like, life's not gonna wait for you. Mm-hmm. Life's not gonna wait for you. You think like, you're not gonna be the exception. No one is the exception here. Mm-hmm. So that's why you better change yourself. You better change your attitude. Mm-hmm. Better be patient and learn, develop your communication skills. Same thing with business. Mm-hmm. It's not, you're not gonna be, if you put the effort and like have the right formula, then you'll be successful. cannot make it with like being different, not being different, but have being arrogant and all this stuff. So yeah,
exactly. That's amazing that your father has those conversations with you. Like my dad, I have really amazing conversations with my father now. But I feel like growing up, it never really went in that direction. Like my dad was always there for me, but it never went in those life lesson directions until I'd say like I got to college. So that's amazing that he told you that.
It starts. So you can be the start. You can launch that. Mm-hmm. So when my father, my grandfather did that. My grandfather, my great-grandfather did that. So like every time I was like, Dad, how did you learn about that? He's like, my father taught me, Dad. And then when you go back to my grandfather and you ask him, same thing, it's a process. So my mom taught me a lot of stuff and my dad taught me like things about business and life and how to be like a man and your principles and your values. So I'm glad that I have someone like that.
Yeah.
So like you can be like that where your daughter can explain, where your sister can help her and you just like open this loop and it just keep going and keep going and people are helping each other.
It's amazing.
Like, my dad couldn't track it. Like, he was like, it's just obvious. Like, I was like, Dad, how do you know that? He literally described the scenario. Mm-hmm. When I was in high school, my friends were fakes. And I was like, Omar, be careful. Don't hang out with these people. They were like, you literally told go to life. Whatever. Yeah. And I was like, Dad, like, I messed up. He was like, okay, watch it. Watch this happen. This person will fight this one. Blah, blah, blah. He literally described the entire scenario. By the end of the semester, but when I graduated, the exact same shit
It played
happened.
Out. Our parents
like,
know.
Dad, how do you know that?
That
like,
wisdom.
And my dad gave him a piss. He was like, that means you didn't trust me. like, and he hates that.
He took it personal.
Yeah, he took it personal. Like, what do you mean, like, Dad, how did you know
and
that?
And that's the thing, too. It's like, parents, a lot of, they take it so personal. But it's understanding that, like you said, like, we have to go through things ourselves. So, like, you can show me, you can tell me, you can write it out. You can put an outline in it. You can tell me how it happened to you. There are certain things where I still, like, I just don't listen, and I have to endure it on my own. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that as a parent, you kind of, like, they don't want us to mess up. Yeah. They don't want us to go through, like, all of the hard
stuff.
Especially
my dad. Like, my dad, he's very smart about it. He's like, I'll teach yourself. Mm-hmm. But if you don't learn from me, life is going to teach you those. So I might have seen it. Like, you get, and seen like same thing with my siblings and everyone in my family.
Yeah.
So like, I'm glad that even if you don't have that person, you have to reach out to people.
Yeah,
don't
you have to find it.
Yeah,
that's what I like. You can't like literally.
You cannot
no
sit
excuses.
There and have a mentor
no
for you to find a mentor
excuses.
And Spencer, you have to go out of your way. You have to network and meet them. For me, the way I find my mentors is like, they basically either saw me that I had a potential and they reached out to me, say, hey, went through the same thing, or I proved it. I was like, no, I don't want to be your mentor. I was like, okay, give me a shot. I don't want to be mentor. A year after, they're my mentor now. So like
you prove yourself. You let your work and your work ethic speak for itself.
Damn, that's crazy. One question. You said you read like a lot of books about entrepreneurship. Why that didn't affect your decision from dropping college or working for someone else? And
so that is a great question.
Because personally, using Rich Dad Poor Dad, 0 to 1, listen to those podcasts. I feel like college is not giving me what I want. And it's true. I was thinking about dropping out. Now I need to make it for my parents so they wouldn't get stressed. I don't want to hurt the people that I love. So that's why I'm in college.
So two things. Number one, when I came to college, it was like I told you, I was not very involved in high school. Like I wasn't a cheerleader or anything like that. Like I was in chess club. I was a nerd. I was in chess club. So when I got to college, I looked myself in the mirror and I said, that is going to change. You are going to be out there. You are not, I used to consider myself, I'm not a people person. Like, no, like I don't like people. I just like being by myself. Like, no. Then I got to college and I'm like, I started to realize I did groups. And I started to realize, I'm like, that I am a people person. I love being around people. I get my energy from people. Now, of course, I have to go back to, you know, being alone in my own house and decompress. Yeah. But I get my energy. I love being around people. So that's number one. I just sort of told myself that I'm going to make this the best experience possible. And through that, I started getting leadership positions. College for me opened up so many doors that I would not have had otherwise. And that leads into my second point, which is, as a African American woman, I knew that college was going to put me in places that even the greatest amount of experience could never put me. That's what I knew. Because it would, honestly, what I've accomplished in, say, 5 years of me getting my bachelor's and my master's, I feel like it would have taken me 10 or 12 years had I not gone to college, made the connections here, because this is a very unique community, right? You have to understand that college is a very unique environment. You will never in your life, I'm not going to say never, I don't know every environment, but there are very few environments that are as conducive as the college environment. You are around, especially at IU, there's like 48,000 people here, and you are around people from all around the world. We have top study programs. We have people who like know so many different languages, are from so many different countries, study or practice so many different religions. And to me, again, that exposure piece, when I came here, I realized, oh, everybody not Christian? Like, they're not bad people because they're not Christian. Like, you grow up and you're like, people who aren't Christian are bad, unequally yoked. Like, that shakes the table for some people. Yeah. When I'm like, wait, I just met somebody who's like Muslim and they seem like a great person. Mm. They seem like a better person than me. You're telling me that person's going to hell. That can't be true. It could not be. To me, that is just like, college opened my eyes and opened so many doors for me, especially as a Black woman, that I feel like I would not have found otherwise, particularly for my situation. Being from the South Side of Chicago, being in that environment, I feel like had I not gone to college, I would have stayed right there.
That's so true, actually.
And I don't know what the hell I would be doing right now.
That's one of the main reasons why I'm so like, enjoying college, especially you meet a lot of people, and you just got to be good at networking. And so now, starting my second business, I'm just like, okay, I need someone who was very good at coding. I need someone who was very good at cloud engineering. I need someone who was very good at marketing. And the only place where you can find all these people in one place, or like only the campus of Bloomington, it's IU. It's just like it's crazy. People like, if you're not in college, you have to reach out. You have to look on LinkedIn, to contact them and offer them money and pay all this stuff. For me, I just got to pull up my phone and text them.
And you know how easy it is to connect with people who maybe went to IU or Kelly. Like, all you have to do is, hey, I'm an IU alum. Yeah. I'm an IU student. And immediately, they're like, oh, yeah. How would you otherwise make that connection? It'd be a lot harder, right?
It would be a lot harder. And it's not impossible, but it would be a lot harder.
It would be a lot harder, exactly. And that's what I like to tell people is, like, I don't think it's impossible. Like, if you don't go to college, I don't think it's impossible to get where you want to go. You will just have to work a lot harder and possibly a lot longer. And that's just my take on it, at least from my personal experience.
That's great. Yeah. The college is definitely a lot of fun. I love it.
I loved college.
That's the thing. I love it, but I want to be so bad an entrepreneur. I'm like, okay, I need it now.
I'm telling you, begin studying these entrepreneurs, talk to entrepreneurs, because I was in the same place. And then now that everything that I'm doing is starting to take off, I'm like, whoa, I think I just want to go to Accenture and do my job, because being an entrepreneur is hard.
I enjoy the pain. That's a thing. It's like you ask a football player or you ask a soccer player, why do you love playing soccer? Or why do you love playing basketball? You got tackled, you got hurt, you got injured. I love that. Yeah. That's what I enjoy the most. Same thing. I know.
Sure,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just get in the thick of it. Uh-huh. In the thick of it, when your life depends on when if I don't sell this client, if I don't successfully do this, I can't pay my rent. I'm gonna get evicted. When you get in the thick of it like that, that's when you're like, oh, this shit is hard.
But you're smart about it.
I'm going to do both.
You're doing both. You see, you're doing both. I don't have to go through that. There's a way out of it, but I'll get the same result. Oh, yeah. I'll be a millionaire. That's what I'm talking about.
Exactly. It's strategy has always been a piece of everything that I do. I overthink everything. You ask anyone that I know, my mind is constantly churning. These are conversations that I like to have on an everyday basis. People don't like that, I've noticed. People don't like that. Most people, they're like, I don't feel like feeling like I'm at a TED Talk right now. Okay, whatever. I'll talk to myself. Yeah. It's fine. Get out. Like,
no. People are scared too. Mm-hmm. So I was talking to my friend. He invited me to whatever. We went to the same place, and I was talking to him. He said, well, basically, we started this conversation on entrepreneurship. I was like, dude, why? I wish if I didn't get exposed to that. Mm-hmm. Because, like, now I'm so stressed. I want to make it. I want to be that person. Mm-hmm. Whatever. And he's like, dude, I don't feel that.
It sounds like you're someone who likes challenges, right?
Or sometimes, like, sometimes I think you're sick. Sometimes they think I'm stupid. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just like, dude, I don't want to work for someone else. Screw that. I want to be independent. Like, I want to be, like, financially free. Mm-hmm. And they don't get it. Sometimes, as I told you, they think I'm stupid or I'm mm-hmm. wrong. Like, oh my, work for someone else, it's okay. Or get a college degree, or do this, and that. Mm-hmm. And so that's crazy.
I mean, you have to determine your own path, right? Like, there are times when I'm like, oh, entrepreneurship really, like, what I do, it's my passion.
Yeah.
It lights a fire within me. Yeah. So I get on the phone with my mom, and I'm like, yeah, I'm quitting. Like, it's done. Like, I just booked a client, four figures, he paying me to talk.
Yeah.
So it's just like, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to quit. And then my mom's like, uh-uh. You're not doing, you got a good job. Don't do, like, no. Yeah. And of course, that's what they say. Like, I know she, my mother has been an entrepreneur, entrepreneur for a while, though. Mm-hmm. So I know the place that she's coming from of just understanding. She understands what's on the other side. Like, really what's on the other side.
My dad, too.
Because I'm like balancing the line right now of like, I still got a job, but I'm still an entrepreneur. Like, once you hop on one side or the other and you hop on that entrepreneurship side, it's like somebody just threw you in a pool of sharks. And now it's time for you to make something happen.
That's true. My dad always told me that he's an entrepreneur too. And he tells me that, you're not ready for it. I'm just like, why? And he's like, entrepreneurship is really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. He's like saying, like, who's going to pay for your food? Who's going to pay for your rent? Yourself, if you quit your job. He always told me, are you ready? And I said, yes. Mm-hmm. He asked me this question, how? How are you ready to confront? How are you ready to face those clients? Do you have the experience? Do you have the knowledge? And so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you got to be smart. Like, that's what I'm thinking, too. Like, I don't know. Probably get a job for a year. Definitely not more than 2 years. 2 years is my max.
What, with working a full-time job?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, definitely, like, give yourself a timeline, right? Because it's easy, especially coming out of Kelly, with, like, it's likely that you'll get a job where you're making some good money. It's easy to get comfortable. It's easy to get complacent. If you don't give yourself a timeline, you will get there, and then you're like,
you
there? I just got promoted.
Are you there? Are you
what, like, comfortable?
Insane? Yeah.
I know.
Be careful.
It's like,
get you off guard.
No, this is because I know the thing is, like, I know that Accenture is paying me very well. Mm-hmm. But then I also know my value. I know my worth. I know that although Accenture is paying me very well compared to maybe, say, my peers and what they're getting paid or something like that, I know that I'm worth a lot more. So by any means necessary, I'm going to get to that number that's in my head rather than, Accenture's paying me X amount of dollars. And then after I'm at a year and I get promoted to senior analyst, then I'll get 8,000 more. Mm-hmm. What is that? Like $20 more a check or something? What's that going to do? It's not going to do anything for me. I know my value. I know my worth. And then I also understand that for me, it's that aspect of creating generational wealth. Like, I feel like my family, they don't have that right now. Like, we're doing great, but due to my father working so much, like, my father works very hard. My mother works very hard. My mother has had, like, her own business and everything. And then my dad works 12, 16-hour days.
Sheesh.
So it's, you know, like, with that, I want to get to a point where they don't have to do that anymore, where my dad isn't stressed. So where he can relax. I don't know if I've ever seen my father relax. Ever.
Yeah. Actually, same thing with my father. My mom always tells him, you need a break. Come with us. And we take breaks without him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, constantly
grinding. We used to do that, too. Like, we used to do that, too.
Yeah. And my mom got pissed at him. I was like, wait, like, why are you not coming with us?
Exactly. Exactly.
Why don't get too excited when we're going and we're, like, happy we come back? And it's, like, sad. Like,
because he's thinking about the responsibility of having to take care of all of you.
He always saw us as, like, go without me. Don't feel bad, guys. Like, I'm the one who wants to stay here. Even, like, his break is sitting at home doing nothing for just 2 hours, then someone will call him like, okay, back to my office mm-hmm. now. So,
and that doesn't count. And it's now recently my parents have started to go on trips. So they actually went to Dubai 2 years ago, which kind of sparked me but yeah, they just started doing that because they've been, now that I think about it, like they've been traveling here and there since I was like a kid. Like they go to Orlando, they went to the Bahamas before, like mm-hmm. did a cruise, stuff like that. But internationally, like it kind of started within the last few years. And I think like honestly, once like I started doing it, and then uh-huh. it's like, okay, like this is a thing, and uh-huh. we're finding flight deals. Yeah, like it's a lot easier than people think to do that. So yeah, parents like play a crazy, crazy role in developing you, but just college and entrepreneurship in general is
so having parents like think about it, like it will save you time knowing what exactly you want. If your dad is working in this company or having a regular job, you just want to be like him mm-hmm. or not like him. If your dad is a doctor, you know if I want to be a doctor or not. It saves you time trying to know what's your objective from life and what's your target and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did, like especially with my mom and my dad. I was like, okay, I want this, whatever, my partner to be like this mm-hmm. this and that. I want someone like my mom
mm-hmm.
to take care of that, us and all this thing. So like having parents just saves you a lot of time. They don't have to be successful, they don't have to be mm-hmm. rich, they don't have to be entrepreneurs.
Exactly.
You just learn from them. If they're very bad at communicating, they have very bad communication skills. Okay, I'm not gonna be like that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like, you know what what to avoid now. Yeah. It's still it all plays into it, and it's impactful. And it's as an adult and now as a, like, it started in college with me sort of realizing that, okay, I really have to. You begin to look at your parents in a different light. You begin to not only, it's like my mom isn't just my mom. Mm-hmm. She's a sister. She's a daughter. She's a woman also going through life, and mm-hmm. my father is the same. He, like, you have to give your parents room to make mistakes, to, like, not only just with you, but in life in general, mm-hmm. or to just figure it out. It's just like you're going through life, they're still going through life figuring it out. And then for me, I also have to understand that my parents are pretty young. Compared to everyone else's parents, my parents are pretty young since they had me so young. So when I look back, my mom is, how old am I? I am 23. So she had me when she is going to be 40 next year. So she's 39. And then my dad is 42. But yeah, like it's understanding that aspect of, even when I look back or when I was like five, I'm like, my mom was all of 20 years old. When I was 20 years old, oh my God, I was like at a party. I didn't have a kid. So understanding that it's like, she's still figuring it out. She's still growing. Both of my parents are still growing. And like, even whether or not they had me young or not, they'd still be still growing, because that's just what life is. That's what you do. Like, you have to give them room for that, and then understand that, okay, I've identified that this is a characteristic that I may have inherited from you that I am now going to work to improve, that I don't necessarily feel like it's conducive to my growth. I realize that maybe it's toxic. You got to understand it. Like, sometimes stuff that we learn from our family can be very toxic. Like, my family yells all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, it could be a conversation like this, and they are yelling.
People always tell me why I'm loud.
In your face. Yeah. I'm like, and it wasn't until I, like, because I, like, I used to do the same thing, and then I came to college, and I would be talking to people, and they're like, why are you so loud? They're like, why are you yelling? I'm like, my God, I'm sorry.
That was freshman year. I was in the lounge, and people were like, oh, guys, I'm trying to sleep. I was like, it's Omar. It's like, oh, it's Omar, it's okay. Like, I was like, I'm loud all the time. I was like, wait, what do you mean, like, it's Omar, it's okay? It's not okay.
But it's just, like, it wasn't good communication, because even when I would, like, get in a debate with someone, not even a debate, but when I, like, someone would disagree with me, unconsciously I just start to get louder.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but that's just what my family does. And I found, like, when I would, like, go back mm-hmm. from college, or even when I go back now and I'm talking to my mom or my grandma or something like that, and like, they just start, and I look at them like, why are you yelling? like I'm right here, stop yelling. Like, it doesn't, and like the talking over one another mm-hmm. and all of that, I started to understand that that's not, you're not listening. Because now I'm looking at it like, I got to tell my mama sometimes, like, Ma, you're not listening to me. You're just trying to respond to combat whatever I'm saying. And just the first thing that I said, you won't even let me explain. So it's just, it.
You learn from them. And, like, an example from my side is from my my father's, like, my father's family, they're very competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to be successful. You got to do this, this, and that. And my mom's side, her family, they're super chill.
Mm-hmm.
As if they're smoking all the fucking time. Like, they're happy whatever they have.
Mm-hmm.
Some of their kids that don't go to college, they have, like, they own a small store and they sell. I was like, they have the best life. If you ask them, I literally went to the guy, I was like, how do you see yourself? He told me, like, I see myself rich. He was driving an old car. I was like, what do you drive this car? What do you got a new one? I was like, dude, I see it like my baby. Like, that's my BMW.
Yeah.
Like, then and I was like, okay, let me combine both.
Mm-hmm.
I got a Maker like my father or my uncle did from my father's side. And I got to be happy what I have, like my mother's side.
Yeah.
So, like, okay, let me combine both.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I mean sometimes if you don't learn from your parents or you learn, don't stop learning.
Mm-hmm.
I skilled that. I was like, okay, let me look at my family. It's not only my parents. And I was like, okay, let me combine both. Because, like, from a parent's side, it's not that you're not happy. It's just like, it's constantly another chance. Okay, what's next? What's next? Mm-hmm. Okay, you got an undergrad, master, after a master, PhD. And after a PhD, you got to be manager. Like, well, because everyone made it.
Yeah.
Like my uncle, my other uncle, like, my father and my brother and everyone and my mother's side, everyone is happy.
Yeah.
And I go to my mom, I'm just like, why you didn't take from them? She's like, no, when I married your father, I just took that negative side. Like, no, I want to be competitive. I want my kids to be like the best and whatever they do. Like, no matter what you're doing, you got to be the best.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad told me once, he was like, I want my child to be perfect. I was like, okay, good. It's like, not perfect, perfect at anything and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're doing sports, don't tell me I'm just boxing or I'm just like playing soccer. You gotta be the best.
Uh-huh.
If you're doing school, dude, you gotta be the number one. I don't tell me I'm number two, right? Number three, or like they really like achieve success.
Instilled it in you.
Yeah, and when I go to my mom's side, one of the kids didn't do jack shit with his life, and it's not he's not doing well. It's just like he's doing well, but he's like everyone else and he's happy with it. He literally sees himself like as a millionaire or like a very wealthy person. And that's what I want. I want that perspective. I want my social life to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
I want my achievement to talk to my parents' side.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you gotta combine both.
Taking aspects of both, I love it. Wow.
That's deep.
Look.
Hey guys, thanks so much for listening to the Strategy Behind Branding Yourself podcast. If you love this episode, please go on your social media and share, subscribe, and review. Let me know you're listening by tagging me at Precious C Price. That's at PreciousCPrice. I can't wait to chat with you guys.